For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered.
Bringing pro football to the Mid-South for nearly two decades.
It's a miracle!
Yes!
Good! Touchdown, Titans!
This is Titans Radio. Now on Titans Radio, your chance to talk about the Titans with the head coach. This is the Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Now, the voice of the Titans, Mike Keith.
So glad to have you with us tonight from St. Thomas Sports Park. We've got an hour of conversation about Titans football with Coach Mike Mularkey and Dave McGinnis. Coach Mack will join us in the last segment to talk about several things going on with the ball club, not only last weekend's 23-20 win over Baltimore, but the upcoming Salute to Service game this weekend as the Titans will play host to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals will enter this contest at 3-5. Last weekend, they fell at Jacksonville 23-7. Cincinnati having some problems on offense, but in what has become a familiar refrain to this season for the Titans, they will see another top 10 defense. The Bengals are actually number 6 in the National Football League in total defense. They are number 1 in the NFL in red zone defense. Opponents have been inside the Bengal 20 28 times this year and have come away with just 9 touchdowns. As a matter of fact, the opposition averaging roughly 19 points a game against Cincinnati's vaunted 4-3 defense. So more challenges for the offense this weekend. Another versatile back coming their way. Joe Mixon, the talented youngster out of Oklahoma who can catch it, who can run it. He's 228 pounds. There's not much that Joe Mixon cannot do. So we'll have a chance to see him. And A.J. Green, wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, one of the best of the last 7 years, and certainly the source of some controversy this past weekend when he got in a fight at Jacksonville with defensive back Jalen Ramsey. Neither suspended for what happened, and in particular the focus was on Green, who threw a couple of punches, but I guess the feeling by the league is they got thrown out of the game, and so they missed that time. Now probably a fine is all that will be added to it. Your chance to talk with the head coach of the 5-3 Tennessee Titans, Mike Mularkey, at 877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. We welcome your Twitter questions as well, at Titans Radio. We'll talk about the victory over Baltimore, a game that the Titans were really in control of for a majority of the game, but Baltimore would never quite go away, and the Ravens certainly made it interesting in the fourth quarter. The Titans answered with a 75-yard touchdown drive. A touchdown with 46 seconds to go pulled Baltimore close, but the onside kick failed, and Tennessee is able to hold on and win it. The Titans right now at 5-3, playing host to Cincinnati. They will turn around and go to Pittsburgh next Thursday night and then be at Indianapolis on November the 26th to close out the month. 5 games in the month of December, Houston at home, at Arizona, at San Francisco, and then games on December 24th with the Rams and December 31st against the Jaguars. And who would have thought before the season that those two teams would be in the middle of playoff contention at year's end? But it just goes to show how upside down the National Football League has been this year and how it can be. I'm joined now by head coach Mike Mularkey, his team getting ready to play the Cincinnati Bengals. Welcome, Coach.
Glad to be here, Mike.
Get everybody back to work tomorrow and a sort of a new challenge, a Cincinnati team that the Titans have not seen for 3 years.
Right. Another AFC North division team, another one of those physical, tough teams coming in here to our place. A good team.
Again, the phone number is 877-848-2671, 877-848-2671. We look forward to having you join us on the program tonight to ask questions or make your comments of the head coach. Let's get a couple of Twitter questions right off the bat. And this is from Jaron. He wants to know, if Kevin Byard records double-digit interceptions, will you join the defensive backs in a dance? Jaron says, keep up the great work.
I might. I mean, it's been remarkable. I would definitely throw off the rhythm because It was pretty impressive, the dance they did. I have to.
Who was the least impressive of the dancers in your eyes?
I don't. I think they were. I think they were outstanding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Giving them all
again,
credit.
Again, I did not know they were going to do that. I didn't even know they did that till the evening news, and until I saw it. So I didn't even see it happen in real life.
It was all over the Twitter.
Yeah. Well, I don't have. I'm not a Twitter.
I get it.
I'm not social media. I don't even. Yeah. Never will be.
That's all right.
I did see it on the news, and I thought, wow, I didn't even know these guys knew that. Was it the Temptations?
I thought it was the Temps immediately. Yeah. That's what I. That was my thought.
And it was obviously rehearsed because they were really good.
All right, so let's check out another Twitter question. Mike wants to know, how much better are we at defending tight ends this year?
Well, that's a good,
a lot?
I mean, yeah, it's evident. And again, Kevin Byard being another one of the guys, Jayon Brown, even Avery's having, you know, a better year. We're doing a better job with and we faced some good ones. Again, Watson last week. To me, playing at a high level for his years in the league.
Cincinnati has a pretty good win in Croft, too.
Right, right. They've got one hurt, you know, right now. But, yeah, they've got – he's another one. We're going to have to do a good job, especially on third down.
Let's get to the phones at 877-848-2671. Christian in Nashville is our leadoff caller. Christian, we welcome you to Titans Radio. Go right ahead for the coach.
All right, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Once again, another great win this past weekend. Let's keep it going. I got a two-part question for you, Coach. In the second quarter, after we scored the touchdown with Derrick Henry, the kickoff, we saw the penalty from Taylor Lewan. My first question is, as a coach, you got to love the anger and the passion you see from Taylor Lewan, but is there sometimes you kind of just want to rein him in because that could have been costly? And my second question is that the kickoff from Ryan Succop, I think that was a big play in the game that a lot of people didn't talk about because he put it back there near the goal line, an 80-yard kickoff, and the returner, he did bobble it just a second, but the Ravens could have had it at the 40-yard line plus, and I thought that was a very good job by your special teams unit to pin them deep there with just a couple minutes left in the half. Thank you very much. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Christian. Those are really good observations. Yeah, I mean, I pull anybody aside that needs to be talked to, and I have with Taylor a number of occasions. He's passionate. He's going to fight for his teammates. He's definitely a team first guy. He's just got to know where to draw the line, and I'm there to draw it for him, and he knows that. That penalty, again, I think they were looking for him to just to do anything, and he was actually with a teammate, an old teammate that he just happened to just slightly headbutt as a, you know, hey, good to see you. But they took it the wrong way, the officials, and I can see why. They, you know, he would have been in a skirmish earlier with the officials after the Marcus hit. He's got to be careful. I mean, he's kind of a marked man, to be honest with you. And I think other teams are just, you know, they're alerting the officials to watch him and make sure he's on his best behavior. And so, yeah, I've had a number of talks with him.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That is a great observation of that kickoff. Now that was a huge play. Now you back us up on to the 20, and Ryan did bang that kickoff down there, and our guys were running like I'd never seen them run before. But to pin them inside the 25 on a penalty kick was a huge play for us. I mean, a huge play because that we practice those things. We practice the 50-yard line kickoff, and we talked to our offense and defense about the magnitude of those penalties. Of, you know, if we get defensively, if we have a kickoff coming at us from the 50, that's an unhealthy return because they're going to be on top of our returner. You're talking about a guy getting whacked, I mean, pretty seriously. So those are critical penalties that we cannot have at the end of, you know, series like that.
I want to ask you about the fighting around the league, and there was a lot of it on Sunday. Two-part question. Number one, do you expect the officials to be on red alert from the league office this weekend after, I mean, frankly, it's not great publicity for the league overall to see what happened in multiple places. And number two, how much do you discuss, if at all, do you discuss that with your team about what went on? It was not your team, obviously, that
right.
did it, but
right.
No, about
I,
the league.
I think it'll be addressed. Yes, it will. I think I'm sure it's being addressed with the officiating crews to – because they were handled in so many different variety of ways. It wasn't consistent again. And I think that's something we got to see what's going to happen if something like that happens. And it's got to be to a point. I mean, it's going to be so serious of a not just yourself being suspended. You know, those are pretty hefty checks you lose, but organizations being penalized for instance, like they had.
Yeah, they said if A.J. Green had been suspended and had lost a game check, it would have cost him $600,000.
Yeah, that's pretty wow, I didn't know that. But that is I promise you it'll be the last time that will happen again.
Yeah.
Pretty sure of that.
Yeah, I'd say you're right. Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Randy is our caller. Randy, thanks for phoning in on Titans Radio tonight. Go right ahead.
Sure, thanks. Thanks, Coach, for your service to the Titans fans, just like many soldiers I know at Fort Campbell. The time they spend away from their family, I know that you spend a lot of time away from your wife and family, and she probably keeps everything in check, just like many of the wives that I know that their soldiers are away. And I think a lot of fans need to realize that what the soldiers do for our freedom, and this is a game, and I know that you try as hard as you can based on the time that you spend away from your family, and I just want to thank you for that.
Thank you, Randy. Appreciate that, especially this time of the year. This is this game coming up here is our salute to service, and I have a really just the amount of respect I have for our military, and I've been very honored and blessed to be able to be a part of a relationship that's been built with Fort Campbell and everybody there, and our team is very close. It's had a really good impact on our team. It really has. And this is a big week with that happening at our game.
And yeah, it's a salute to service game, as you mentioned, and Cooper Steele has joined the Titans and partnered, and they are purchasing 1,000 tickets to give to the soldiers and their families at Fort Campbell to be here and to be part of this weekend, the Titans and the Bengals, so they can enjoy what will be obviously another great NFL experience at Nissan Stadium. And so Cooper Steele, outstanding job by them, stepping forward to do something really great.
That's
for folks.
Amazing. That is really amazing. And looking forward to seeing a lot of friends coming down from Fort Campbell. We're going to sit with my wife. And again, you just mentioned the time away. I will say that my wife, first of all, she must love me. It's tough time away. I'm a very close family man. Very, very close with my family. My wife. Tuesday, I don't see her. I haven't seen her on any of the Tuesdays. So these are tough days. But it's not like the military though. I mean, what they do is incredible. So glad we're honoring them as we are.
877-848-2671. 877-848-2671. Your questions at Twitter. At Titans Radio, we'd love to hear from you as we continue with the Mike Mularkey Show. The Mike Mularkey Show continuing on Titans Radio from St. Thomas Sports Park in Nashville. We'll go back to the phones at 877-848-2671 momentarily. But first, a Twitter question at Titans Radio. This comes from Kenneth, and he wants to know, he says, Coach, it's easy for fans to criticize the offense, but that being said, the run game has been struggling. Has there been any more thought of a passing offense with run mixed in, giving our great weapons at receiver and tight end?
I mean, I think I've said it a couple of times before. Whatever it takes for us to win in this past game, it was throwing the ball. Now, did we throw it more than we normally do? No, we're pretty balanced. That's the beauty of this offense is that it's pretty balanced, almost 50-50 first and second down run pass. Which is very hard to predict what's going to go on with those numbers. But we had to have some big plays made last week, and we did on a couple of those play-action passes for touchdowns to Decker and Richard. So we relied on more explosive plays in the run game. And when the run game is struggling, again, I'll say this. I can promise you on their side, Baltimore, and on ours, the whole week was stop the run. Because if you can't, then you got no chance. What it does do is it opens up the play-action pass, and that's one thing we're good at. Marcus is really good at it.
Let's go to Bennett in Columbia, who is phoning tonight. Bennett, thank you for joining us on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Thank you. I would like to thank Coach Mularkey for such a great job he's done. I mean, last year was incredible. I've been a Titans fan for many years, and those 2- and 3-win seasons were just, oh, man, those were gut-wrenching seasons. But my question is, now that Marcus Mariota is back at supposedly full health, will we be running more, like, option plays, like read options, zone reads, and load options?
Well, I appreciate your phone call, Bennett. Yeah, and I was part of a couple of those years when I was my first couple of years here there, and they were difficult seasons to go through. So, yeah, Marcus is going to get a little bit more. I think we did a little bit more this past game, more than people even think. The reads took him away from him running, which was fine with me, and put the ball in our ball carrier's hands. So, yeah, I think each week as we go by, I'm knocking on wood, he's getting healthier and healthier, and he's close.
Time for the pinnacle moment of the game, and this is actually going to be pinnacle moment. We tell you to sign up for a Titans checking account with Pinnacle, and you could receive a $200 gift card for Titans gear and an autographed DeMarco Murray football. Details at TitansBanking.com. Pinnacle, play hard, bank easy.
Play fake Mariota, looking for Matthews, finding Matthews. Touchdown, Titans! The first half touchdown pass of the season for Marcus Mariota. 3rd and 1. Give Henry to the left. Henry is in there, standing up. Touchdown, Titans! Derrick Henry. Mariota rolls right, looking back to the left. He fires, man is wide open. Decker, touchdown! Eric Decker in the red zone. 34 career red zone touchdown catches out of 53 total TDs. And the young maestro gets off the deck, leads his team 75 yards when the money's on the line.
Those are the pinnacle moments of the game, and we pick those because you're playing Baltimore, Coach. You get in the red zone 3 times, you score 3 touchdowns. Against the Ravens, not easy to do. They answered the message that you had laid out and the offensive staff had laid out for this team about taking advantage.
No, we needed a drive. We were struggling, especially in that third quarter. And, you know, they came back and made it a 1-score game. And I like the way our guys, again, very resilient. I like the look of our guys on the sideline. There's nobody that flinches, no panic, no... They're very confident. We're very confident in what we're doing, and you know that was a huge drive. And again, we converted some third downs, which we struggled earlier in the game. And you know, this is the reason I'm saying this is Cincinnati is the number one red zone defense in the National Football League. So we've got to continue to execute the way we did about that drive, which is interesting. Maybe to some of our struggles was we had no mistakes, no mental errors. Every guy executed his job on every play, and it was amazing when they did that, the results of that drive.
In different situations, too. You get the play that you wanted on the touchdown to Matthews early on, and you could see that open up beautifully. You run Henry at the goal line after not getting him in at Cleveland from close. You get him in this time. And then a little – improvise. Mariota and Decker making something happen. So different kinds of touchdowns set up in different ways. But honestly, Coach, you know, if you have to kick 3 field goals there, you don't win this game. Instead, 3 touchdowns, and you do.
Right. And again, I give credit to our guys. I give credit to really our coaching staff. Our defense was, again, very, very stout all day. We wish we'd have got off that field that last drive. We had chances to, but for the most part, we shut the run down, which was the number one goal, and we took away all their explosive plays, and that was the goals going into that game, and we won because of it.
Wesley Woodyard credited with 20 tackles.
Yeah, and probably the biggest one was on 4th and 1 when he stoned the back in their backfield. Well, probably the biggest play for us at that point on the defense.
877-848-2671. We'll get back to the phones, and we'll go to Kingsport for a call from Ernie. Ernie, thanks so much for joining us on Titans Radio. Say hello to Coach Mike Mularkey.
Hello, Coach. I just wanted to ask, it seems to me like you're, this week especially, it's been more of a balanced offense. It's more even as passing and running, and I want to know, seems like the tight ends are getting an awful lot involved, but I believe that's a good thing from what I've seen, and you're about to win me over. My Dolphins sent my Ajayi away. I mean, I'm almost a 100% Titan fan now. I'm getting there.
Thanks, Ernie, for the call, and we'll do what we can to pull you to the Titans' way. The tight ends have again really have been a big part of this offense for the last year and a half. And I'll say prior to this last game, after the seven games, we had the bye week. Again, we look at everything, every phase, all the situations that we're in, and I get this report. I get it every week. And I look at tendencies, and I want to make sure that we're as close to being and I get a lot of reports that say a lot of things about us. But the number one thing was after seven games, we had 99 runs on first and second down, and we had 99 passes. And what's interesting about that is that's not purposely done. That's Terry Rubisky just calling the game as the game is flowing. I do ask periodically how our run-pass ratio, first down, start a series. There's things I ask during a game to try to make sure it's not over, it's not too much. But that's where we were without even trying to be that close.
Touching on tight ends, certainly Delanie Walker gets all the credit that he deserves and an amazing player and has been an amazing player here for 5 years. Jonnu Smith is an exciting young player Titan fans are very excited about. But over the last three seasons, it would seem like there have been few Titans who have improved as much as Philip Supernaw.
He really has. And I credit Arthur Smith, the tight ends coach here. He works with all those guys. It's a special group. It is. Again, I'm playing a little favorites since I coached it and played it for a lot of years. They're a tough bunch. Delanie, to miss most of last week in practice and then go out there and play a game like that and be a difference maker in the game. Supernaw has come a long way. He really has. He's playing a lot, and he's really doing a good job. He's one of our core guys on our special teams.
Is Dennis Kelly a member of that group?
He'll get an honorary badge at the end of the year for his tight end play. He's another big-bodied guy that can block the point, but he also, we use him both in the run and the pass game. And he's done a great job, and it's another personnel grouping that teams have to prepare for.
877-848-2671. Twitter questions at Titans Radio. And let's see. Oh, here's one. I like this one a lot from Derek. Coach, have you ever had an offense with this much talent? I see so many weapons, and that makes it hard to get everyone in.
I've been pretty fortunate in a couple places I've been with as a coordinator in Atlanta with Michael Turner as the running back. Tony Gonzalez is a tight end.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah, he was pretty good. Roddy White and Julio Jones. So I was fortunate there in Pittsburgh. Had Jerome Bettis, Hines Ward, Antoine Randall, Mark Bruner was a tight end, more of a blocker but one of the best I thought in the league. And really, the lines on both places were good. I mean, I was just surrounded by really a bunch of good players, but good people too.
But the elements are starting to come back and starting to get together. You get Corey Davis back.
Right.
You find a way to sneak Adoree Jackson in. It seems like the best is yet to come from this bunch.
Yeah, we're just scratching the. We have flashed. I'll say this. Some of it being late in games. We haven't put a complete game together, other than maybe the Colts game Monday night when we scored the nine drives. I think we're just scratching the surface. We're still trying to feel our way. Corey being back after one game, I think he's going to probably have. A little bit more action come this Sunday. But it's good to have him back, and it was fun to get Adoree involved in the offense.
More calls for the coach on the Mike Mularkey Show coming up on Titans Radio. A lot of great questions tonight on Titans Radio, the Mike Mularkey Show. Glad to have you with us. Coming up in our final segment, Titans Radio Game Day analyst Dave McGinnis joins us to visit about what's happened and what is on deck for the Titans, and looking around the league a little bit, but more questions for the coach now. Roger in Hendersonville, thank you for waiting. Thank you for phoning, and we're glad you're part of Titans Radio's Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Thank you all for having me. Thank you, Coach. I just wanted to congratulate you on this win this past week, 3 in a row. Really feels good to be a Titans fan again, seeing the guys we have on the field. Bunch of good people first and then players, but really good people around this team right now, which is good. My question for you, Coach, is I know you played in the 90s or in the 80s with the AstroTurf. I know that had to be hard. I wanted to know the hardest that you were hit in your playing days. Do you remember a time that you were a player or somebody hit you so hard? That's my question, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Roger. Yeah, that's a pretty good question. I got hit a few times. I set the wedge for 6 years. I was a middle guy, and most people don't know what the wedge is, but on a kickoff return, there's a couple guys that set right in front of the returner. And then their number one job is just to start running as fast as they can straight forward and take on anything that's coming. And except the other guys had a 40-yard head start. And there were a number of times that I don't really remember what happened. And I remember there's a number of times the guys were yelling at me to get up, and I was like, I can't get up. I'm hurt. I mean, I took a lot of hits on kickoff return and a couple on some crossing routes that I woke up I woke up a little time later.
So you were the wedge buster?
No, I set the wedge.
Oh, you were the wedge.
I was the wedge.
You got to visit with the wedge buster.
I was the middle guy in the wedge.
Oh, gosh.
You know, so it wasn't like I was the right guy of the three. Remember the rule? Used to be three. Now it's only two. And I'm like, how does that make it any better with just two guys? You can only take out two guys before. Unfortunately, I was one of the two every single time.
So your contention is being the wedge setter is worse than being the wedge buster?
Oh, there's no doubt. No, because they've gotten at least a 40-yard start. You get about a 10. Just picture a car going 40 and the car going 10. What the damage to me? There's a picture actually in Sports Illustrated that I got absolutely. They ran me over, and I think I made the tackle with the back of my body on a returner, and I got knocked cold, and the ball, our returner got killed, fumbled. And the ball is actually leaning on my helmet, and I am...
Is this Minnesota or Pittsburgh?
Minnesota.
Okay.
Yeah, once I went to Pittsburgh, I became a starter. I got off the wedge. But when I was a backup, I was a backup for 6 years in Minnesota, and I was on every special team.
So this was for Jerry Burns?
Bud Grant and Jerry Burns, yeah.
So Jerry Burns didn't like you?
I think it was... No, it's funny because the tight ends coach was a special teams coach at the same time, and I, you know, now I joke around, you know, I don't know if you know what you did to me, but I took a lot of serious hits in that phase.
Roy in Franklin, you're up next on Titans Radio on the Mike Mularkey Show. Go right ahead.
Okay, hey, Coach, I got a couple questions. The first is I'm watching the games and I'm seeing the challenges. Like, for instance, when Delanie Walker, he apparently caught the ball, but one of the officials said he didn't, you know, and then they come in and they overturn what they said before it could even be challenged. I'm just wondering what the process is. Every time now, like ever since the fumble or the non-pass, you know, fumble in Miami, I'm always leery when someone picks up and runs. I'm just curious how you guys decide, and you just kind of hold your breath. You know, just like when they went 4-on-4 down and the guy was squirming all over the place. He clearly got past the line, but he didn't. I think the whistle blew before he did that, but it's really hard to figure that out. And the other one is a question I have is more of a, I guess, your tight end question here. Super Bowl, when he scored the touchdown against Miami, and he jumped off sides two times beforehand, was it the same play every time, and he was just anxious, or did you just cut him some slack? And I'll hang up and listen.
Actually, it was the same play, and it was really a run-pass option. It was all based on a look of the defense, and we knew it was there. We knew the play was there, and it had a little bit to do with the depth of the safety that he had to get by.
And yeah, I think he was a little anxious. I was loud down there, but probably a little more anxious than anything. And again, I was about at my wit's end, and the quarterback coach, Jason Michael, said, call it again, coach, call it one more time. It's there. And he made a great throw, from Matt, and great catch by Phillip. But the other, you know, right now we've instructed our players in some of these rules. If the ball's on the ground, don't even worry about the whistle blowing. You got to get on the ball, because I have no idea if it's live, dead. I really don't. It's unclear to me, and I think it's unclear to most people on when it's a live ball, because it kind of goes both ways. Really inconsistent.
I thought the Delaney catch was a really good piece of officiating, yeah, because one official saw him catch the ball and went to the other official and said,
"Yeah,
hey, Fred," or whatever your name is, "I'm 100% sure
he caught
this football," and that's what you want him to do.
Right, and I thought it was handled very well. Upstairs, they said, "Coach, he caught it." You know, so if they would have said anything other than, you know, it was a catch, I was going to challenge it, because it was clear on the replay upstairs that he had caught it.
Are you hankering to challenge, pardon the pun, because you haven't challenged this year?
No, I know. I've had the red flag in my hand a number of times, and I listened. I trust, you know, I have two coaches upstairs that are trying to watch the replay and make a very good decision, because those timeouts are important. If you watch Baltimore, they lost a couple timeouts because they lost the challenges, and that made a big difference at the end of the game.
Yeah, they were in a position where they had to go, what, the final 12 minutes without a challenge and down to one timeout, and
right,
it certainly changed the strategy of the last drive in the situation. They had to be more desperate than would have been.
No question about it. That made a huge difference. And I understand the challenges that they were big play, the fourth down and one, the spot. That's a, you know, things like that I could see being game changers with the challenge. But no, I have not had to challenge a play yet.
I bet you do.
Well, now I will now.
Will now, for sure, now that we brought it up. All right, final minute that we've got with you, Coach. The Cincinnati Bengals, a team that has consistently been a contender under Marvin Lewis.
Right.
He has had the most success of any coach in their history, and they know there's a lot on the line for their season Sunday at Nissan Stadium, and you want to win your fourth in a row.
Right, and we know there's a lot on the line, and we know the importance of this game. I know Marvin. I've known Marvin a long time, and I know how he coaches that team, that they will be very well prepared. They're going to take the loss in Jacksonville pretty personal and come in here and try to make up for it. And I think our guys know, you know, we just got to forget what took place on Sunday and only lock into this one and don't worry about anything else around the league, what's going on, except this game.
Looking forward to the salute to service game on Sunday.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Coach Mike Mularkey, thanks so much for your time. Dave McGinnis is standing by. We'll visit with him as the Mike Mularkey Show continues on Titans Radio. As we continue with the Mike Mularkey Show, we want to remind Titans fans that this Sunday, as the Titans take on the Bengals at Nissan Stadium, it's a very special day for the entire Titans organization. It's the Cooper Steele Salute to Service game as we honor the brave men and women serving our country. Through our team partner Cooper Steele, 1,000 tickets will be provided to soldiers and their families at Fort Campbell to attend Sunday's game against the Bengals. Prior to kickoff, the national anthem will be performed by country music recording artist Carly Pierce. During the anthem, 75 soldiers from Fort Campbell will unfurl a United States-shaped American flag, and a flyover will take place from the 101st Airborne Screaming Eagles. At halftime, the 75 soldiers from Fort Campbell will again hold the U.S.-shaped flag on the field. They'll be joined by honor guards from each branch of the military. The commanding general of Fort Campbell, Major General Andrew Pappas, will be presented with a game ball during that contest presented by the Titans and Cooper Steele to thank and honor the 101st Airborne Division. So the salute to service game, Titans and the Bengals. My Titans radio partner, Coach Dave McGinnis, salute to service. Very special in this community, special around the league,
But at Nissan Stadium, thanks to Cooper Steele and the 101st Airborne, an even more special day.
Well, it absolutely is, Mike. And I mean, I feel, I mean, every time the Salute to Service game, you know, comes up, all the years that I've been in the league, it's a very special time. It's a very special time here. You know, as you say, the 101st, of course, being so close, and then as really as connected as this organization is with, you know, with the 101st and what, you know, what Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Mularkey do. I mean, it's to me, and I was so impressed when I first got here, just watching, you know, in a preseason game, you know, how stand up and how reverent, you know, this team was and the players and the coaching staff and the whole organization was, you know, during the anthem. And I mean, it's very big to me. And plus, it's big to me. It's got a special place in my heart because of Pat Tillman. You know, Pat Tillman, you know, was my guy. You know, I drafted him. I coached him both as a coordinator and as a head coach, you know, there in Arizona when he chose to make the tremendous sacrifice, you know, that he did. And so, I mean, it's very special to me. And I'm just very proud of the way the Tennessee Titans and the Nashville community embrace the 101st, embrace Fort Campbell, and embrace the whole scene of the military appreciation.
Yeah, it's going to be really special as the Titans take on the Bengals on Sunday. Let's talk about a player who's been involved with the military in this offseason, and you've seen him in national television commercials, Delanie Walker. Delanie Walker, what an effort last Sunday against Baltimore. 5 catches for 71 yards after basically not practicing for 2 weeks. Speaking of a gutty performance.
Well, I mean, again, you and I talked about this on the broadcast during the game, and hopefully the listeners heard and knew how – I mean, all of my years in this league, I'm impressed by players that are – professional football players. Being a professional player is much more than just getting paid to play. Being a professional player is a mindset. It's a lifestyle. It's a commitment to your team. It's a commitment to wanting to perform. I thought that was tremendous. And plus, for a veteran like him to step up like that in really a must-win game, that was a play-in ball game for the Tennessee Titans, and to see him step up, I was watching him work out before the game, and I gave a thumbs up. Someone asked me, "What do you think, Coach Mack?" I said, "He's a player. He'll play." And he did. I was very, very impressed with Delanie Walker. But again, it doesn't surprise me because he's that type of person. He's that type of player.
Coach Mack, can you even begin to put into words what an effort like that and the commitment that Delanie Walker shows in that instance does for that Titans locker room?
Well, it's everything in the locker room. I've seen it throughout my 32 years coaching in this league. Young players follow the lead of guys that are veterans, but it doesn't only come with being a veteran. It comes with being a veteran with production. And production not only comes on the playing field. Production comes in the meeting room. Production comes on the practice field. Production comes on being able to answer the bell and be ready when the time is there to play. Young players see that and they say, this is the standard that is here. This is the standard that we're held up to. And it permeates your locker room and it does nothing but make it better. I've seen it time after time after time of my 32 years in this league.
Titans Radio's game day analyst Dave McGinnis is our guest on Titans Radio on the Mike Mularkey Show. You coach linebackers, you know linebackers, you love linebackers. When the coaches graded the film, Wesley Woodyard credited with 20 tackles, the most ever in the Titans era. He has 102 tackles on the season in his 10th NFL season, 3 tackles for loss, huge tackle on a 4th down play to stop the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, what can you say about this guy that hasn't already been said?
Well, I mean, I told you this a month ago, Mike. I sought him out about a month ago just to tell him how much I appreciated his game and how much I appreciated what I was seeing. Ever since I came in here to training camp, you told me, watch this guy. I've watched this guy since he's come out of college. This is one of those stories that just makes you feel so good, but he is all in. He reminds me so much in talking with him and just the look in his eye and the way he approaches this game. He reminds me so much of another favorite that I had here that I'm sure that all the Titans fans and listeners will know is in David Thornton. Those type of guys, the game means so much to them, but also the way they approach the game and the way they take care of themselves. They've got so much pride in not only their production, but they have pride in being there for their team. I mean, Wesley Woodyard is having a year now. And again, as I say, if I get a Pro Bowl vote, he's there.
Yeah. I would think so. He's played great. So you've got two 30-plus guys in Walker and Woodyard leading this team. But how about a 24-year-old safety with five interceptions in his last two games? Kevin Byard has really set the league on fire with what he's been able to do. As you watch tape, what is he doing particularly well at the safety spot?
The first thing that he's doing is you can tell, I mean, and this is another guy that you told me when I got here from training camp, watch this guy. You've got a pretty good eye for talent, Mike. You might want to get a side job.
Anyway, thank you, Coach.
Yeah, anyway, he is playing within the scheme. You can tell that Dick LeBeau trusts him because even during training camp, he was making calls, he was getting people, and then he has a great ability, and you heard me talking about it on the broadcast. He's got a GPS to the ball. He can get there, but he's got a great ability to sit back there in center field. He doesn't panic. And when the ball's in the air, a lot of times guys that have a lot of ability, sometimes they'll panic, you know, either in mid-flight or at the end of the play. I see no panic in this guy. This guy, and he understands angles. To me, he's only going to get better because when you are that instinctive and you also are able to put together the way the defense is supposed to work, and then I can tell that he studies tape a lot because he's recognizing formations. He's recognizing receiver splits. He's recognizing directional delivery keys in zone defense from the quarterback. This guy is a real football player, and plus, he's got great hands. I mean, he can catch the football. Sometimes you got a lot of safeties that were moved to safety in high school because they couldn't catch as a receiver. This guy can catch the football. I mean, I'm very impressed with this young player.
This defense is coming around, isn't it?
What absolutely is, and you can see him. And again, what I like about this defense, and of course, you know, people ask me, you know, after the Houston game, what makes you think this defense will get better? And I said one thing, Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau, his coaches and these players on defense here, they love to play together. You can tell that. You can tell also that they've got great respect for Dick LeBeau and his coaches. They've got great confidence in what he's teaching them and what he's putting across. And then, I mean, I love the energy that they play with. This is a very energetic defense. It really is. And that to me, I've coached defense, you know, in this league my whole life. You know, for 32 years, over half my life, I've coached defense in this league. And if you've got a defense that you see a lot of energy to the football, regardless of what the scheme is, you've got a chance. This team not only has energy and effort, this team has production. They're only going to continue to get better.
One of their challenges this week, taking on one of the best receivers in the NFL, Cincinnati's A.J. Green. A challenge in so many different ways. You think the best receiver that this defense has seen all year?
Yeah, well, I just think this guy, I mean, since he's coming in the league, I mean, he's a big, long receiver. When you see him in person on the field, you understand the catch radius is amazing. He's a long receiver that can still get in and out of cuts, which a lot of times your lengthy receivers have a trouble getting in and out of cuts. He does not. He's got the whole route tree. And plus, his catch radius, Mike, is huge, not only vertically, but horizontally and spatially. And so when you have a receiver like that, you've got to defend all the routes, but you also, with the jump balls and the power forward type moves that are going on when the ball is thrown down the field, you've got your day's work when you've got a receiver this big, this talented, that has done it for this long.
Cincinnati, however, has had problems offensively in other ways. When they get the ball to Green, they're successful. Otherwise, they've had difficulties. How does the Titan defense keep them from getting in any sort of flow this Sunday at Nissan Stadium?
Well, the Titans defense needs to continue to play like they have played, just as you mentioned earlier. But the thing that they need to do, this offense struggles when it gets behind the chains. When you really watch tape and look at what they're doing, when they get behind the chains, they struggle. The quarterback starts to press a little bit. What you've got to do, now they're going to try to come out. They're going to try to put the Titans off balance. I expect to see some screen game. I expect to see some things. Get the ball out of Dalton's hand. Get him into rhythm early. The Titans can get them behind the chains early in the series. They're going to have a really good chance to get on top of them. What you can't let them do, because we'll talk about this, and I'll bring it up right now, this is a must game for Cincinnati. They have to have this. This is a desperate football team right now. They've still got enough players to make it happen, so you cannot give them any life.
And they have players on defense, meaning it is going to be a challenge again for this Titans offense, who seemingly has seen a top 10 defense almost every week.
Well, and because people are building their defenses. I mean, you know, everybody understands that this is a quarterback-driven league, and the only way to be able to counteract that is you've got to get people that can put pressure on the quarterback, and you've also got to get people that can run and can make plays and in your second and third levels of defense, and that's what the Bengals have also. This defense, they've got, you know, they got people down front with Atkins and Dunlap, and they've also got some very, very good linebackers back there, you know, starting with Vontaze Burfict. Their secondary is very athletic. This defense is nobody to play around with. The Titans are going to have to bring it all against this defense.
Adam Jones comes back to Nashville. You coached the Pac-Man when he was here. You know him well. For whatever off-field issues he has had, you must give him credit for an extended NFL career that continues on. What is still special about Adam, don't call me Pac-Man, Jones's game in 2017?
You know what? He's an exceptional athlete. You know, I mean, that when we got him here brand new, I mean, this guy, I remember when Jim Schwartz went down to work him out, you know, down there, and he went back to his hometown, and he was dunking basketballs, doing 360s, and I mean, as short as he is, I mean, this guy's an explosive athlete. He's a very tough physical athlete. He's very, very gifted physically. Plus, he's got a really tough mindset. This guy is as good a competitor on the field, Mike, as good a competitor as I've been around, and I've been around a lot of them. You don't last as long as he has in this league without being physically gifted and without being very, very competitive.
We're going to see another good one Sunday.
Let's go, Mike.
All right. Dave McGinnis with us on Titans Radio, reminding you that this Sunday it's the Salute to Service game sponsored by Cooper Steel. The Titans play the Bengals at noon Central Time at Nissan Stadium. The Mike Mularkey Show is produced by Brandon Haggerty, Titans Radio producer Brad Willis, Promotions Director Marie Misha, Traffic Director Kendra Holt, Director of Sales Hunter Rice, General Manager Allison Warren, Operations Manager Charlie Cook, and the Executive Producer of Titans Radio is Rhett Bryan. For Mike Mularkey and Dave McGinnis, Mike Keith says thanks for joining us, and we'll be back on the air with you Sunday at 11 Central, noon Eastern for Titans Countdown. We'll talk to you then.
The Mike Mularkey Show, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. For great health care coverage, get the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans. They've got you covered. Get the info you need for this week's game at TitansRadio.com.
This is Titans Radio.